We're going to talk a little bit about Springfield right now, and joining me on the phone is Bill Fleishley. He's Executive Vice President of the Illinois Petroleum Marketers Association and the Illinois Association of Convenience Stores. Bill, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I hope the weather's a bit better in Springfield than it is here.
It's not much. We're not getting storms. We're getting a little rain. No. We didn't get the rock and roll storms yet.
Well, stay tuned. I think they're on their way. I wanted to have Bill on because, and I've known Bill for a long time, but I wanted to have him on because talk about some of the legislation that passed through the recent spring session in Springfield. And one, and this has always been kind of a subject, is involving tobacco and tobacco sales. And for, you know, convenience stores, for gas stations, you know, that is a source of income. And we now have legislation that would raise the age to purchase tobacco products in Illinois. The legislation that's on the governor's desk would raise the age from 18 to 21. And that currently is what the law is in Chicago. But this would expand it statewide. And, Bill, your group is opposed to that. Could you give us the reasons for that?
Presently, only about 5% of the 18 to 20-year-olds smoke. So the present legislation or law that we have, we think, is working. That means that the training that we gave our sales associates is working. Also, the possession enforcement keeps people from smoking. So we think we've done a good job with this. The FDA is in charge of it in Washington, D.C. They think 18 is the right age for a person to smoke. If they want to change it, we think it should be changed with a national policy, that every state would have it. All we're doing with this legislation, we're not going to stop these 5% from smoking. We're going to force them, entice them to go over borders and buy cigarettes. And that loses money for not only my members, but it also loses $50 million a year for the state of Illinois.
Well, and that's, I mean, you're actually, you know, we talk about the things going on in the national border, but for the Illinois border, there always seems to be a constant battle between trying to keep business in Illinois for retail, for gas, those kinds of things, compared to the border states.
Absolutely. I mean, we have higher taxes. Let's face it. We have a high sales tax on our gasoline that changes every time the wholesale price goes up. It drives people away. I mean, it drives our gallons should be a lot more. When we did take the sales tax off, gallons went up about 50 or 60% for the 6 months we did it in the year 2000. But we allow these young people to serve in the service. We allow these people to marry. We allow them to make decisions about their health care. We allow them to sit on juries. They certainly have enough knowledge to make a decision, a decision whether they want to smoke or not.
Well, and, you know, obviously, as you say, smoking is down, and there's a general kind of attitude against smoking. And, I mean, how do you deal with that as a group in you know, talking about the economic benefit?
Well, yes, smoking is bad. We admit that, but we still think that it ought to be a decision by the person after education and reasoning whether they want to do it or not. You know, there's the same people out there talking about drinking. They talk about fat and foods. They talk about all those things. We think the person who is 18 to 20 years old, if he can vote, if he can join the service, he can make a decision regarding smoking.
I was not familiar with I believe this legislation, it failed initially in the House, I think, and then subsequently was passed. So, I mean, I'm not sure what the roll call was, but it does seem like there is some divide in as far as the members of the General Assembly.
Yes. It was put on postponed consideration. It failed with 54 votes, and it passed the next day with 61 votes. So it's a very divided General Assembly on the matter.
So now it's a matter of trying to work the governor's office.
Yeah, we'd like to see a total veto, but knowing that may be difficult, we think a mandatory veto that brings possession back into the law, possession being illegal. So right now, it is illegal. You have a minor offense if you are caught with cigarettes or using cigarettes illegally at underage. with this law, that goes away. So we're not going to punish anybody, and there's going to be no enforcement for the actual smoking. There'll be enforcement of buying, but there's no enforcement of the actual smoking. We think enforcement should be in it. We think it's working. When you have 5% of those adults, young adults, are smoking, we think it's worked. That's on the positive side of that. 95% don't smoke. If everything in government could be 95% effective, I think we'd have a lot better tax structure and things like that. Everything would be working a lot better if 95% was good.
We're speaking with Bill Fleischley. He's Executive Vice President of the Illinois Petroleum Marketers Association and the Illinois Association of Convenience Stores. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower on historic North Michigan Avenue, a rainy Michigan Avenue this morning. Joining me on the phone is Bill Fleischley. He's Executive Vice President of the Illinois Petroleum Marketers Association and the Illinois Association of Convenience Stores. And we're talking about legislation that passed in Springfield. And Bill, there was another bill, and I think this may have been prompted because of some of the reporting in the Chicago Tribune over the issue of selling lottery tickets when the big prizes have already been claimed, and the continuation of selling tickets for these games even though those big prizes aren't available. And I know an earlier Tribune story found that under past lottery management that was a frequent practice, and there were questions raised about the honesty of selling tickets knowing that those big prizes no longer exist.
That's true. Senate Bill 212, there was an amendment put on that, that dealt with that. And any time we've had publicity that's negative publicity about the lottery, it hurts lottery sales in our retail locations. But I'm convinced that after we've talked to the Camelot people, the new people that are doing the lottery, their business plan, they told me, I think, starts July 1 of this year. We are convinced that they're going to handle the situation, and they're going to be positive and let people know what's going on. They're going to be transparent. And we think that this will go away without the needed legislation. But the legislation woke everybody up, I think. And hopefully it will not be negative. And these things will end, and these people, the new lottery people, Camelot, have got this under control, and this will help bring the lottery back where it was several years ago.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there were some real concerns, and again, this was under previous management about, you know, how honest is it to continue selling and even featuring advertising on some of these games that you can't claim the big prize anymore.
Yes, and there was negative publicity in the lottery regarding big payoffs when we didn't have a budget. Those hurt our sales and things like that. But I think this new company is aware of all this. They have met with us, I mean, the industry, not just me, but the industry that sells lottery tickets on several occasions, two or three occasions. They have come forward with things they want to do that we think that are very positive. And also the transparency on these games is going to be resolved.
How is the lottery doing as far as your customers?
It's been doing good, very good. But in the last summer when we had the little clip when they came out and said they won't be able to pay the big games off, it went down, and it takes time to recover.
Has it recovered since then?
It's about back to where it was last year. Yes, it hasn't grown, but it's back to where it was last year, the sales.
Bill, I also want to ask you too, and we did not get a comprehensive public improvement capital plan as part of this budget, obviously, it continues to be talked about, and it always has to involve new revenue, and typically that has always involved things like gas taxes. Nothing. I don't think there was really a great appetite to raise gas taxes, this being an election year. But I'm wondering, looking ahead, you know, obviously the needs of the infrastructure of the state they've languished. And there's going to be a renewed push. What do you see on the horizon about that?
I would imagine in the next general assembly session they're going to talk about revenues for roads. Now, there are other. First of all, I think what we got to make sure is the amendment that was passed in the 2016 election dealing with diversions, money that's targeted.
That's the constitutional amendment that was passed by voters.
Yes. Bring all the money that goes to, that's supposed to go to roads, goes to roads. That's the first thing that ought to be accomplished. The second thing I think we ought to do is look for other revenue sources. Do I have any in mind? Not publicly, I can say, yes, I do, but I can't publicly because my board of directors hasn't said anything about it. But gas tax is always talked about. The problem with gas tax, it's not growing like it used to anymore because of different cars, electric cars. I think we have to bring them into the picture. The cars that run on propane and those kind of things, they all got to be brought into the picture. They're using the roads. They should be a part of the money or the revenues to fix the roads. That's the big thing we got to do. Yes, there needs to be roads repaired. I'm not going to say it, they don't. But if you hit the gas tax, historically, after every gas tax increase, volumes go down between 4 and 7%. So you have to remember, they'll recover, but it takes a while for them to recover.
Well, and you make a good point about electric vehicles, which, you know, initially they were incentivized by the state. And now, you know, they're becoming much more commonplace. And what exactly are they, you know, contributing to road improvement? And you know, do you assign them a higher registration fee, for example, to make up for that? I mean, but I do.
It has to become. They have to. You know, they have to pay their fair share. There's no doubt about it. And they're going to be part of the solution to get ourselves off carbon fuels. They're going to work. It's going to work. But they have to be part of the solution.
Do you see any way, and you kind of touched on this a little bit about, you know, when we briefly lifted the sales tax on gasoline, which doesn't go to roads, it goes to the general fund, but do you see any kind of trade-off room there?
I tried to initiate that last year in 2016 when they passed the big tax bill. They eliminated the sales tax incentive on ethanol. On 10% blend of ethanol. That was a 20% sales tax reduction. That was supposed to go off this year, December 18th. They eliminated it early. I made the suggestion, if you're going to eliminate, and that adds about, in today's price, about 4 to 6 cents a gallon. I made the suggestion that they take, for 5 years, for 7 years, for some years, take that money and put it in to the road fund so we could do the roads. It was a suggestion made, but it wasn't a suggestion ever got to the floor of either house.
And so we continue to kind of wonder what's going to happen here. I don't detect a great deal of favoritism for in mileage kind of assessing of vehicles.
No, that we talked about that when I first started as state government. We called it a weight distance tax. And I think Oregon tried it, maybe even Kentucky, and the technology is better now. If everybody had a GPS system, you could probably put something on a GPS system, or you could check mileage and things like that. But everybody doesn't, and it probably will come someday, but I don't think in the next 5 to 10 years it won't be there.
Well, we will stay tuned with all of this. Bill Fleischle, Executive Vice President of the Illinois Petroleum Marketers Association and the Illinois Association of Convenience Stores. Bill, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate being on the show. I'm a little nervous, but I hope I didn't mess up too bad.
Oh, you're just fine. Talk to you later, Bill.
Thank you. Bye.